Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by a thousand miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored. And I would like to introduce you to the 12-year-old version of Tommy. And why do I say that? Because Tommy's playing Metroid like he's 12. He's got a pack of Mountain Dew beside him. And he just figured out that there's a girl in that Samus suit.
And she's kind of hot.
What's up, dude?
I hate Mountain Dew, by the way. That's like my gamer thing. I just can't stand this stuff.
I hate it.
Like, but we somehow lose gaming cred not liking Mountain Dew. But I just, can't do it. That stuff's gross.
So I say that because you and I have known each other 17 years now. And we talk about the things that we love, and we get on this show, and we gush. We talk about all this cool stuff, and then we find something that there's just really no words for, and that's kind of what the new Metroid is.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell y'all something. I haven't played anything this week. You want to know why? Because all of my time has gone to watching this fool play Metroid on YouTube.
Yep.
That's where all of my time has gone. And like, when I say he's playing like crazy, I mean, I can't keep up.
Yeah, it is. We're going to talk about it a ton. And so we'll get into details. But it's just one of those games, in part because it's so nostalgic for me, in part because it's just so good, that like just any moment I can find, I'm going to fire it up. Any like little gap of time that I'm like, okay, I can play it for a little bit. And the good thing about it is you can just play it for a little bit, even though it's still a save point based game. You still have to get from save point to save point. You can still kind of pick it up and get through, 20 minutes and get to a save point and then turn it off. And that's really nice. And so it both satisfies that like quick fix need, but it's also what I can sit and play for a couple hours. And I've done plenty of that with my usual pausing in there, but shorter pauses.
Very much shorter pauses.
Yeah, not nearly the terribleness that it usually is. So yeah, I imagine it's been a little more difficult to keep up.
We've been doing this 17 years, and I can count on my hand the number of games that have been like this. And I'd say all that to say I ain't complaining. Mm-mm. Like, I love the fact that I don't have time to play anything else because I'm trying to keep up with what you're doing over there. I ain't complaining at all.
Yeah, no, that's fair. So we'll talk more about that. That'll be a big chunk of today's show. So just prepare yourself for lots of Metroid talk. We do have other news that we will get to, including the expansion pack for Nintendo Online is out. And has some issues, so we'll talk about
the issues.
It's the most Nintendo stuff. It's just so painful, and it's like 50-50 they ever fix it. So we'll see. We got a couple of game announcements, or one game announcement. We finally got like legit details on the Grand Theft Auto Trilogy re-release definitive edition, what they're calling it, which is interesting. We have lots to talk about with it, actually, which I kind of...
I,
we weren't planning on that, or I wasn't. And then all of a sudden, we need to talk about this.
I got one word for you, and it's a cleanup. It's a cleaned up version of what I'm actually thinking. But the one word I got for you is crap. Crap. Crap, Rockstar.
Yep.
Crap. And we'll get to that in a bit because I'm really frustrated.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. So we'll get to those at least. We'll see if we get to anything else because we're going to talk a lot of Metroid. Before we get into that, big thanks to the Patreon guys, Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, and Andrew. Thank you guys a ton for your support. Good news is last week's show ended up on Patreon, which was good because the week
before that didn't.
Hopefully this week's show will end up on Patreon as well. We're still looking for some more content. Time is difficult, but man, if we can get some Metroid stuff up, we would love to do that. We're going to talk about it a ton anyway, so you're going to hear us talk about it. But
yeah,
any excuse I have to play Metroid, I'm gonna jump on it because yeah, I love the thing. It's fantastic. So
do you want to start right there? Because
anything else you need to talk about? I mean,
no, there's really not. And I want to say just a couple of things because I'm curious if you agree. But I can't, there are very few titles in my life that are so, and I'm trying to think this out so that I don't say it incorrectly. This entire game is based on gameplay and what comes with that. And I don't know that you or I have played a game that is so complete as far as gameplay goes in a long time. Like, the last time that we talked about this, we complained about some of the cheesy Nintendo stuff and the opening cinematic and some of the crap that they do with the voice. Yep. We complained about all that. I'm going to tell you after watching you play this for 20 hours or whatever it's been, none of that stuff matters.
Nope.
Because this is one of the purest gameplay experiences that we have ever had. Am I stating that incorrectly?
No, I agree with that wholeheartedly. There's games that you play for narrative. There's games that you play for gameplay. There's games that kind of tick both boxes or you know, that kind of balance between them. And so The Last of Us Part 2 is a heavy narrative game. But the gameplay is fun, and the gameplay has some good mechanics to it, and the gameplay has some frustrating mechanics to it. Red Dead Redemption. Just tons of frustrating mechanics to the gameplay. We talked about that when that game, Red Dead 2, came out. Just the control difficulties and all that kind of stuff. But we didn't care because it just is so much about narrative. Metroid is the exact opposite, right? Like, it just, I could care less what was going on in the story. Like, whatever, it's a Metroid storyline. It's very similar to other Metroid kind of storylines. Like, there's a formula and it follows the formula. And unlike Other M, which is that, like, one Metroid game that we don't talk about because it was so different and weird and whatever, other than that game, all of the 2D Metroid games have kind of stuck to the same formula, and it works. It's because you don't care about the story really much at all. Like, okay, cool, Samus is kind of awesome, and she can do these cool things, and there's, like, some, like, existential danger that you're trying to deal with. And if you think too much about it, it's really dumb, and there's lots of holes, and continuity never lines up between games and all that stuff. And I just don't remotely care because it is so insanely fun to play. It just is fun. And that's all that matters. Like, I could play it for 40 more hours and, like, just the gameplay wouldn't get old to me. Like, it's just fun.
It's fun. And the little things that they do to add to the gameplay that we didn't have in previous Metroid games. Like, it's a simple little thing, but where you are in the game right now, there are aspects of the planet that are actually falling apart.
Yeah.
And so the background is literally changing as you go through it. Like you've got these canisters and different machines and stuff that are just coming apart,
yeah,
in the background, and you feel like the background's gonna like jump out at you. It's almost like a 3D experience with glasses.
Yeah.
Because you're like, wait, what the crap is going on back there?
And every so often it does. Like every so often something does come from the background into the foreground. And you're like, oh crap. Like what's that, you know, thing that just, yeah, it freaks you out in the best way possible. Just as we get more into this conversation, definitely spoilers ahead for as much as you care about Metroid spoilers, just so you know, because we're really close to the end of the game at this point. And so we're going to talk about a lot of things. If you don't want to know, you've now been warned. There aren't really story spoilers for Metroid. No. So there's not going to be anything like that. But if you do want to keep not know when you get certain power-ups or stuff like that, those are things we'll likely talk about. So just a heads up.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
To me, like, and the power-ups are a major key, and it's always been that way in Metroid, but every time that you get a power-up, it drastically changes the gameplay experience.
Yeah.
Drastically. And you are not a completionist.
I am not.
But the fact that I've been watching you do this for however long you've been doing, I have no idea what the clock is at this point, and you paused enough that it's
wrong anyway.
It's not going to be accurate. But for however long we've been doing this, the way the power ups are working totally and completely amazes me. And it may be because some of these we've never played with before, because we didn't really play with those Game Boy Advance games with Aeons and all the other weird stuff that they added. And so this is kind of the first time for some of that. And it's really cool.
It is really cool. And it's, you know, the Metroid formula is you start with everything, you know, taken away from you for whatever reason, always happens. This game's no different in that. And then you have to search out those power-ups, which open up, you know, different locations that you can get to. But it's always about backtracking, because there's places that you couldn't access before because you didn't have the right power-up and whatever. This game is exactly that way. And like every other Metroid, even the power-ups are mostly familiar with just a handful of new things in there. And so one of the things that I've really enjoyed about it so far is I've done everything up until this point without online help. Between my like experience with Metroid, which is really critical. Like if you haven't really played Metroid in the past, you're more likely going to get stuck, because the game does assume you know some stuff that isn't super obvious if you haven't played with Metroid mechanics before, and specifically Metroid mechanics, not a Metroidvania type game, but specifically Metroid, you know, power-ups, stuff like shine sparking, that you have to know like the different ways that you can shine spark and that stuff. It doesn't explicitly tell you. And it doesn't explicitly tell you that in Super Metroid when you get it initially. You have to kind of figure that stuff out back then. But that has stuck with me. I remember those things from playing Super Metroid, and they translate, which is really nice.
And you've done all that, and still in the last clip that I saw was a 40-minute clip, and you spent 20 minutes of that trying to figure out how to get up to a row of blocks.
Yep.
Because you had to like literally run through a door and then do another thing, and if you didn't hit it just right, you were going to end up against the wall that didn't do anything.
Right. Yeah.
And it took you 20 minutes to figure out the ballet that was that.
Yes.
Section.
And even rehearsed it in a different room. Like there was a room with no enemies, with a lot of running space. One of the train rooms that you get on the train to go to a different place. And so I just like ran just back and forth in that room trying to figure out the timing and feel of getting this like jump shine spark thing to work so I could access that room. And that's such a Metroid thing. And it's like, like just in the moment, like, cause I, that was just this morning that I was playing that part. And so I, like, while I was like having a blast, like, kid you not, like just loving every second of this, like trying to figure out like exactly when you have to hit the button to do this certain thing, I had this thought of, this is so ridiculously dumb, right?
Well, like, it's, you just know what it is? I'm going to tell you exactly what it is, because I had the thought as I was watching it. The reason that this game is so fabulous for you, and I don't understand what it does for me, because I don't normally have this problem, but the reason this game is so fabulous for you is that it's a fidget cube in a video game.
Yes! That's like exactly what it is.
Yeah!
That's a wonderful analogy. Yes, it rewards fidgeting. Like, that's a really, really good way to put it. Like, it just, like, is very therapeutic to me that I could just get lost in it and just this kind of repetition until you get it right thing that I imagine for a lot of people would be pretty off-putting. Like, it just, as a mechanic, I could see where some people would go, that's just not for me. Like, I would totally get that. But for me, like, I just love it. I don't know what it is. It's part nostalgia again, because I love the franchise so much. But it's part that, too, that it's just like a fidget toy video game.
I can hear Chad in my head going, this is effing stupid. I don't have time for this. This is effing stupid. Because you just, it does. It takes patience.
Yes.
And understanding that you're not going to get it right the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, tenth time.
Yes.
You're just not.
And it's both, like, it's skill and puzzle solving, which is the kind of fun part of it to me. Because honestly, I'm just not that skilled of a video game player. We've talked about this a lot. Neither one of us,
no.
You have a better excuse than I do, but neither one of us are, like, quote unquote, good video game players. Like, I don't have great reflexes. You have terrible reflexes. Like, I'm not the most coordinated person. Like, if I'm playing anything competitive, if it's like twitchy shooter kind of stuff, I just get owned. Like, it's just not something I'm really good at, yet we still love video games. The brilliance of Metroid for me personally is that it's just the right challenge of kind of twitchy responsiveness with that kind of puzzle solving element too, because oftentimes there's multiple ways you can get something done. And so for me, sometimes it's just kind of the brute force approach of like, okay, like I could do the little like morph ball bomb volley thing, right? Where you set bombs and you can kind of just jump all the way up using the morph bomb ball. And that's a timing and skill thing. There's nothing like tricky about that other than the timing element of it. And so sometimes it's just kind of brute force, which that I would consider kind of a brute force solution. And especially in Super Metroid, there's just so many things I did in that game that was like, I got this timing down. I could access areas that I wasn't ever supposed to access because of that. But then there's also the ones that there's, you know, a handful of different ways to solve the puzzle. And so then it's the kind of creative, like problem solving, like, what if I tried this? What if I come from this way, this direction instead of that direction or whatever? And so then it rewards you on kind of thinking through different things. And sometimes that's necessary. So one of the things I played this morning is the second to last Emmy that you encounter. And so this is where we're getting fairly spoilery. So just so you know, the second to last Emmy encounter, by the way, the last Emmy encounter was pretty lame. That was the one moment so far in the game that I was like, aw, really?
She went Iron Man right there. And I was like, wait, where did that come from?
Right. Like, it was cool, but it was just like gameplay. Like, again, the game is all about gameplay. And suddenly it just takes like one of the fun gameplay elements out of your hand. I was just a little let down by that. Aside from that, the second to last Emmy is really great. That was super challenging. I got owned by it a billion times. That's the one that you watched me, you'd sent me a text that was like, I just watched you get owned for an hour and a half by this Emmy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah, that's the one that owned me. So I was really excited to take that one down when it finally got to the point to take that one down. And in order to defeat the Emmys, you get like the Omega Beam thing, whatever. And then you have to like do this rapid fire thing right at their face. until like it blows up their face that you could do the kind of finishing shot thing or whatever. But they're like coming at you the whole time that you're trying to like get them to blow up the face thing, right? In this last Big Emmy encounter, like the place that it puts you to do that, you don't have enough room to actually like get it to the vulnerable stage before it gets to you and kills you. And it took me, you know, a handful of times of like thinking, I just got to get there like faster. If my aim is better and all this stuff, like I could do it. And then after a little bit, I was like, I can't do it. Like either that's not possible, or if it is possible, I'm just not skilled enough to do it. And so I have to see if there's another solution. And sure enough, there was. I started looking around. There were some bomb blocks. I was able to, you know, make some space, get in a big kind of like this big circle where we were chasing each other around, and finally was able to kill it that way. And that's one of those things that it was like, okay, it looks like there's one solution to this, but when you try that one solution, like either it's not possible or it's just so insanely hard. Surely they put something else in here, and they did, and then you get that other solution. And it's just so rewarding when you figure that out and you're like, oh yeah, this is what you're supposed to do. It just gives you that like little jolt of adrenaline then, and you're like, can't put it down because you're like, okay, now I really got to finish this because now I know exactly. That's one time I had to like walk away from it because we were doing something family-wise or whatever, that I was at a moment like that, that I was like, oh, I figured this out. I know how to solve this, but I'm out of time. And for like the next day of like spending time with the family, my brain the whole time is like, when do I get to play Metroid? I know how to do this thing. I'm so excited to get back to Metroid so I can finish this one little area.
You're making out, you're totally not hearing conversation. Yeah. You're just like, yeah, cool.
Morph ball, super bombs, ice missile, you know, like that's what's going through my head. And that's to me, you know, the sign of a really, really good game is that I think about it when I'm not playing it. There's plenty of games that are great games that I don't really think about when I'll pick them up. I'll go like, yeah, this is super fun, but they don't stick with me. Metroid, I'm just thinking about it all the time, and I'm just itching to get back to it all the time.
Something that they did that I really applaud. I would hate it if I was playing because I would not. Like, I'd just die. There'd be no way that I could make it happen. But with the bosses, they did this Dragon's Lair thing where you have to do things in a certain sequence to beat the boss. And if you miss that sequence, then it starts over again, and you either get that sequence correct when it's time to get that sequence correct or you die. I mean, you can shoot that boss until you blew in the face, and it doesn't matter because it's reliant on this Dragon's Lair almost quick time event kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And I find that interesting. If I were playing it, I would despise it.
Yeah.
But I find it interesting as a gameplay mechanic.
It is interesting, and a handful of the bosses use that where you have to kind of execute essentially a counter, but it's essentially a quick time event, just like you said, that like you see a flash on the screen, you press a button, you see it again, you press a button again until you get like through the sequence. The good news is it's always the same button. It's not like other games where you're like, oh, what button is that? Ah, I missed that button. It's always the same button, but the timing is really specific. And even when I know it's coming, I miss it half the time, you know, like just anticipating it or whatever. It's not my favorite mechanic of the game, but they execute it well enough. And I get right. Like what the idea of it is. As a whole, the boss fights are really, really great. The fact that you have to do this one thing in a game that's otherwise built off of like flexibility of solutions that you can kind of solve problems lots of different ways. But when it comes to certain bosses, like you have to execute this one thing. At least I'm assuming you do. I haven't lasted long enough of not executing it to see if the boss finally gives up. But like the Machin enemies that you run into, several of them as you're kind of going through, they remind me of Space Pirates of Metroid Yore.
Yeah.
like those, every time you encounter one of them, like those, I think there's three or four of those fights, you have to do like a finishing move with the quick time events. Like that's how you kill them. And that just, like, to me, as kind of a Metroid fan, it's like, okay, I get, like, it's a cool cinematic when you do it. It's fun because it's a quick time event and they can do cool camera angles and all that kind of stuff. But it just doesn't feel as true to the franchise as every other bit of the gameplay does, because otherwise they've just nailed it. It's so Metroid. That one feels a little bit like they're trying to do something a little new. And maybe I'm just an old curmudgeon, and so it doesn't fit
well,
right. But, I mean, it's fine. It's not awful by any means, but it's not my favorite part of the game.
It goes back to what we were talking about last week when we were talking about the Telltale Batman and Walking Dead and all of that. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm done with quick time events for the sake of quick time events.
Yeah.
Like, there's no real gameplay in any of those games, and it just makes it hard for me as a cripple with no reflexes to really enjoy those games at this point, because my reflexes as I get older are not getting better.
Right.
They're just not.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of done with the QuickTime thing in all of gaming. Like, come up with something else, guys, because I don't need that.
Yeah, I generally agree with that. I get the idea, because there's also times in Metroid like that last Emmy that you also feel cheated because it ends up just being a cut scene, right? Like, it's just a cinematic that there's no real interactivity with. And it's, you know, like, the Emmys have been your main adversary through this whole thing. And then this last one, she's just like, oh, super power hand, grab the little fang thing, zap, you're dead. I was like, wait, that's not it, is it? Like, I was expecting it to, like, morph into, like, a big boss fight of some kind or something. Yeah. And it is just like, oh, look at that. You're done with the Emmy. Go on. And I'm like, wait, that was weird, because it didn't have any quick time event or anything like that. It was just a little cinematic. And so I get why, like, the quick time event does help you feel like you're doing something. But there's a better way, I would imagine, to do it. I would have loved that last Emmy to have been a legit boss fight of some kind, that it does something there, even if they didn't want to, like, stretch it out. Because, like, all the other Emmys is this big cat and mouse thing. And then that last one, you, like, walk into the room with it and it's over. You know, like, there's no cat and mouse to it at all. And so I wish they would have done something where they could have made it a little bit more interactive there. Whatever. It's minor things. But I get why the QuickTime events help. You feel like you're doing something else. One of the things that the game does so well is the boss fights. And obviously with Metroid games, boss fights have always been a key component. It's that perfect balance of the first time you encounter a boss, you just get wiped so brutally.
It's not even that. No, it's not the first time. It's the first six.
Right, yeah. The first time you walk in and you just die. And you're like, okay, I'm never going to beat this thing. And you walk in the second time and you last like 2 seconds longer. And you're like, oh, I saw a pattern there. I might be able to do something. There's the one where you restore the core from Cataris to heat the rest of the planet after things start freezing up. That boss fight, like, the first, like, 10 times that I did it, I was just like, I don't think I'm going to get this, you know? But you get better every time, and then you get, like, you know, like, several of the boss fights work the same way. Like, the boss fights always have stages. The first stage, they have certain attacks, and then you get them into the second stage and they get new attacks or whatever. And the first time you get past that first stage, you're like, I can do this. And you just get wiped on the second stage. You're like, I can't do this. Like, this is impossible. But it just lets you progress enough each time. And I say lets you progress enough each time. For me, it's that perfect kind of balance of difficulty that I just progress enough each time that it keeps me hungry to beat it as opposed to super frustrated with it. It is fine balance there.
I was going to ask if you have you been, because I've watched you get trashed a lot. I mean, like, you haven't been in the 17 years that we've done this. I can count them on a couple of fingers. The times that I've watched you get trashed like this, it's hard. It's hard. It will own you. And I've wondered a couple of times, while you were getting trashed, I wondered, like, I wish that I was sitting there because I'm watching you do this, and I'm thinking, I wonder if he's about ready to get up and throw the controller across the room, because that's what it feels like.
Yes.
Is that it's hard. And again, if it was me, I'd be throwing stuff because it really is tough.
Yes.
And there are other aspects of it. Like, there was this one little block that I saw you working with last night there was something that you needed to get, but there was this one little block that you couldn't run through. And you spent 20 minutes trying to get through this one little block because there's this little small space and you rolled up in a ball and you're trying to figure out how to blow it up. And I'm screaming at the TV, slide, slide, just slide. And you're like on it for like 30 minutes. And if it would have been live, I would have literally seen you a text that was like, dude, slide.
Right. Yeah, it's so good at just being frustrating enough. Like, I have not died as much in a game outside of Hades. That's the only other game that I've played recently that you die as much in. Hades is a roguelike. Like, dying is part of the gameplay. Like, it is part of the progression of the story, which in Metroid it's not. I mean, it is in that you get better and you learn things or whatever and you progress, but you repeat just the same thing every time you die. It just takes you back to a checkpoint, you do it again. That's not, you know, the same way that roguelite works. And so the fact that I've just died as much as I've died in this game, that I've seen that game over screen so many times and still, you know, just hit, yep, continue, do it again every single time. The only time that I got super frustrated with it was that Emmy that just caught me a million times. I just couldn't figure out the pattern on that. Took like an hour and a half of game time. That was with a lot of pauses in there. I don't know how much time I actually spent on it, but a chunk of time that I just got caught known over and over and over again until I found the one little thing that like got me out of that section into the next section. That was the only time. And I did quit in the middle of that one. Like, I came back to that one later. I didn't quit because I was frustrated. I quit because I ran out of time.
Yeah.
But I was frustrated with it when I quit. Like, I would have kept doing it if I hadn't run out of time. But that was the only time that I was like, this stupid thing, I'm tired of this. I just need to get on with it. Whatever. You know, like, that was the only time that I was like super frustrated with the game. And then when I came back to it, it was like, oh, here's what you need to do.
And that's done. That's the most amazing feeling when you spend 2 hours on something and you just get destroyed and you walk away from it. You're like, screw it, I'm done. And then you come back the next day and it's like the first time you do it, it's like, bang.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, oh, I'm so dumb.
Yep. Which is
so dumb.
Again, the brilliance of Metroid. It executes on that so incredibly well. It's fantastic. So you mentioned, go back to a point that you said quite a while back at this point. I'm not a completionist in games. This one, I will get really, really close. We are at the end of the game, essentially, I would guess, where, you know, it's like, go take on the final boss. It's kind of what we're at right now. And so I am now in the process of just going back to find items. Not because I necessarily need the items. Like, one of the things that Metroid has always done, until you get to the final boss fight, it always feels like, and so maybe this will be true here too, is it just gives you way more, like, missiles than you ever need. Like, if you get the missile power-ups that you find as you're kind of navigating, you just have way more. I haven't ran out of missiles ever I can think of. You know, like, it just hasn't happened yet. But, like, the final boss fight in Super Metroid against Mother Brain, you definitely run out of missiles. Like, that's, you get all of them you got and you still run out. And so I'm anticipating maybe they do that here or whatever. But I'm determined to go find them, not because I need them for finishing the game, because I want to go find them and solve all the puzzles. It's like Breath of the Wild. And in so many ways, as different as these two games are, and that's in almost every way imaginable, the one thing that they have in common, or maybe the two things that are overlapping things to me, is that it rewards your exploration. They're both games that are like, go, see what happens. Like, where do I got to tell you where to go? You just go. And there's been a couple times I've just gotten lost, you know, like,
oh, yeah.
Like I have a map. I know where things are, but I don't know where I'm going. And that's half the fun.
I have literally started a video and watched 10 minutes of it. And I'm going, okay, well, I've already watched this. Because it says this is the newest video. And I just added it to the playlist, but I'm pretty sure I already watched it. Like, you get totally lost. And I kind of sort of made fun of the map screen the last time that we did the show. Now I'm like totally enthralled by the map.
Yeah.
And I think it's because I've figured out how to use it. And the thing that you've only done a couple of times, but the ability to highlight the individual icons where the rest of the map goes dark, and you can kind of see where, okay, this is where something is. Now I have to figure out how to get there. The map is fabulous.
Yeah, and essential, especially if you're wanting to do any kind of completionist thing, because you got to go back and find all those little things, be it the little flashing things, which a lot of people don't like. I really dig that. I'm going to be honest. Like Super Metroid, where you're just like shooting missiles at the wall all the time to hope you find a box that breaks. I like that it tells me where there's something I should be looking for. Like I don't want to do the work of just running through every single screen and using the little like X-ray vision thing to see perchance if there's something there. Like it still makes you figure it out. There's still puzzle solving involved and it's just less tedious. So that's a nice thing. And again, it rewards your exploration at that point. All that to say, going back to the comparison with Breath of the Wild, it both rewards your exploration and the completionist part of it is fun. And not all Breath of the Wild completionist stuff I cared to do. Like, I didn't go find all the Korok seeds. That didn't interest me a ton. But, like, the shrines, we did that. We went through and finished every single shrine in that game because that was fun. Finding the power-ups and items in Metroid is fun because it's that problem solving. I don't care about getting two more missiles. I don't care remotely about that. But I care about the reward of solving the puzzle to get to those two missiles. Like, to me, that's the fun part. And I will do that. I'm really looking to do 100% on this game. That's something I don't ever do.
I don't care about the missiles, but I will tell you, I have been literally counting in my head going, okay, I think it looks like there's room for three more energy tanks.
Right, yes.
Up there, can we go get those three energy tanks? I'm a whole lot more of a completionist than you are, but it's not the completionist thing that's bugging me. It's that I've watched you get trashed for 30 hours. And so, like, I'm thinking, I know we're getting close to the end, but he's got space for three more energy tanks.
Yep.
I really think he needs to go get those, because you look at the amount of energy tanks that you have now, and you're like, yeah, that's plenty. And then one of those bosses hits you and you're like, oh, crap.
It takes a full tank off. Yeah. You're like, oh, well, I can only get hit like seven times or whatever it is. And I'm done because this boss knocks a whole tank off of the thing. And that's so when you get to the end of the game, like you have the screw attack, and the screw attack's phenomenal, obviously. Like it basically one hits any standard enemy in the game, which is really nice because at that point you could just blow through the map. And that also makes you feel awesome. Like at one point, like just room to room, the game's really challenging because the enemies are tough. Now it's just you like drop on their head and they die. And you're like, yeah,
You remember the line in The Matrix where they're like looking at the screen, and I don't remember who it was that said it, but But somebody was like, yeah, what's going on? And another guy looks back and goes, Neo's doing his Superman thing. That's kind of yes. what this feels like. You're doing your Superman thing.
Yes.
And it's awesome.
100%. You know? Like, it just makes you feel cool. But yet the game is still challenging because you got to figure out these puzzles. So even though the enemies aren't as difficult at that point, like, it doesn't feel like you're not challenged by the game. And it's, again, it's just that Metroid game design that they executed so well. Again, it's been so long since they've done it, but it just is executed again. It feels both so familiar as somebody who's a big fan of the franchise and yet still has this freshness to it. I will pay Nintendo whatever I have yes. to pay Nintendo for them to do a Super Metroid remake in this engine. I just so many times have been like, I just want to play Super Metroid in this so bad. It would be so freaking cool. Nintendo's not one to do stuff like that. But yeah, I will give you whatever you need, Nintendo, to make that happen.
I wanted to make one add to that, and I've been thinking about this. I don't want to see more cinematics. I want to get your thoughts on this. What I want, and they need to be strategically placed, but if you really want to up the story in this game, the way you do it, I think, is voiceovers with Samus. Like, there are areas in here where I'm thinking I would really and I can't think of another example other than Grey's Anatomy or the Wonder Years, but like that sort of that
an
sort
internal
of
monologue thing, kind of thing
where she's just talking and she's going, I would, that would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't mind that at all. That would be something to get a little more narrative in the game would be perfectly fine. There is the one like moment mid game where you encounter the like good Chozo that you have this like interaction with, and then he gets killed right there in front of you and all that, you know, like just this one kind of dramatic story beat in the whole game. It's really the only one other than like talking to Adam in the network rooms, which isn't, you know, it's a little bit of storyline,
right.
Mostly progression base. There's that one little moment that was actually kind of cool. You know, like it was kind of like a nice little interaction that Samus actually interacted with another character, which is, again, outside of kind of what Metroid is. Metroid is about isolation. Like Metroid is always Samus is alone with like non-sentient but incredibly powerful beings that are trying to kill you. And some sentient ones, you know, like space pirates are sentient beings or whatever. And like some of like Ridley is, but like Kraid isn't necessarily. Like Kraid just wants to kill you, whatever. There have been, I'm really curious, this is the one thing, because we haven't finished the game yet, the boss, that not the kind of boss fights, the floating eye things that you fight to get the Omega Beam to take out the Emmys are very reminiscent of Mother Brain.
Like, yeah.
The little rings that shoot at you during those fights, the way that it looks when it busts open, it's like a brain eyeball thing. I am really curious if there's like a Mother Brain coming up here in just a little bit. I'm really excited to see what the end of the game does.
If Mother Brain pops up, I'm going to flip out. I'm going to lose my mind. You talk about acting like a 12-year-old?
Yes.
If that happens, it's all over.
They have been alluding to that in a way that's not like super obvious, but I really want to see it. And like I said, put every Metroid game out again in this format and I will play every single one of it. It's brilliant. So all that said, we like Metroid. Nintendo did it again. Just executed.
It's really good. And like, we've spent all this time with it. I've literally played nothing else. I haven't had time to watch anything else. This is all we've been doing, and I'm thinking to myself, and I'm gonna regret what I'm about to say, but I've had the thought multiple times: we did not give them enough money for this game. Like, we should have given them more money.
The whole Twitter ordeal about is Metroid worth $60? It's my game of the year at this point. Ratchet and Clank was freaking awesome. But again, it's a personal thing because it's a franchise I love so much. But man, it's the most fun I've had gaming in a long time. And I've had a lot of fun gaming recently. That's not to say like there's big crap out there. But Metroid just is so much fun.
Ratchet and Clank is game of the year, but Metroid's number two. Like if we're being object, like I agree for us, it's game of the year. But if we're being objective, Metroid is the runner up, and it's not even close. Like I don't want to see anything else in that discussion. It's Ratchet and Clank and Metroid. That's it.
Yeah, I agree with that. All that said, this episode of Gaming Uncensored, of course, is brought to you by Feels. This is the latest we've got today, but we're getting to them. We're not going to miss that. Believe me. Feels, as you well know at this point, is premium CBD. You can get either via tincture or with the mints now. We've talked about the mints the last couple of weeks, which are a great product too. CBD is awesome. We both use the product on a regular basis. I just had some in my coffee that I was drinking right here before the show, and I feel great. So thank you, Feels, for that. I had just a rough afternoon, just lots of stuff going on that was difficult. I was in a bad mood before the show. A little bit of Feels in the coffee and talking about Metroid, and I'm a happy man now.
Let me tell you something. You want to have a good experience with some Feels, get you some Feels and put on some Metroid, and you're going to be in real good shape.
Yes.
Because that is a fabulous combination.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that at all. So if you're looking for a solution to help with anxiety, with pain, with sleeping at night, again, that's such a big one. We've talked about a ton. I got very poor sleep last night. That little girl woke up in the middle of the night and all kinds of whatever. I'm going to have some CBD tonight again before going to sleep. I'm looking forward to a good night's sleep. It is wonderful for all those things without any kind of hangover, no grogginess. Like one thing with coffee is coffee makes me jittery from time to time. Nothing like that with Feels. It's great. Just makes you feel better. Exactly what it says it should do, it does. And it's wonderful. It's not like super magical, whatever. You just feel better. And that's a big deal, especially as we're solidly middle age at this point. Feeling better is a good thing. Anything that'll help us feel better. So if you want to start feeling better with Feels, you can do that by going to feels.com/GU podcast, feels.com/GU podcast. That's feals.com/GU podcast to get 50% off that first order with free shipping. And then from that point on, sign up for that membership, get 30% off from there on out. It's a great product. We dig it a ton, and you should try it too. And it's keeping us fairly constant. This is the longest we've gone between shows since Feels has been on board, but still not terribly long. And so again, everybody wins in this situation. We dig it.
Can I make one more request? If you use that link, feels.com/GU podcast, and get 50% off, that's great. But what I would also like for you to do, if you get the product and you like it, I want you guys to send the people at Feels an email and tell them how awesome the product is and tell them that we sent you because we really like this product. We really do. And we want them to stick around. So if you're using the product and you like it, send them an email. Let them know that you're digging the product and that you heard about it on Gaming Uncensored. That would help us out a ton.
100%. Dig that. So we'll get to some news very briefly here, but cover a couple of things at least, starting with Nintendo. We just went on and on and on about a great Nintendo product. Unfortunately, the other big Nintendo product we were looking forward to, at least at this point, has a handful of issues. Not surprising, but still a bummer. So the expansion pass for the Nintendo Switch Online service is out, which of course is the N64 and Sega Genesis virtual consoles on the service. Specifically for the N64, I haven't seen the same thing with the Genesis games, and it wouldn't seem like it would probably be as big of a deal on Genesis games. But the 64 games apparently suffer from lots of input lag and lots of frame rate issues, which, again, these are Nintendo 64 games. So the fact that there's frame rate issues with Nintendo 64 games on the Switch is brutal. But apparently, I mean, you could go find videos online. There's plenty, tons of people having this. I watched somebody play Ocarina of Time for just, you know, a couple of minutes, and just showing how bad the input lag is, that it's like almost unplayable. Somebody on Twitter, somebody I follow on Twitter, said playing Ocarina of Time on the Pro Controller on the Switch Online makes you feel like you don't know how to play video games. Like, that's how laggy and awkward it is, which is a huge bummer, because that's a fabulous game, obviously, and there's a bunch of those. Mario 64 apparently suffers from the same issues. That, honestly, a lot of people that may be picking it up right now didn't play them when they came out, because we're old. Nope. And so this is introducing these games to a new generation. Ocarina of Time is so good. If your experience of it is marred by the fact that the controls suck, not because the controls initially sucked, but because the tech that you're currently playing it on just isn't working right, that really sucks. And again, after the price point that we talked about, which I still will argue is a fair price point, but it has to work. If it doesn't work, there's no fair price point, right? Look,
here's the thing. If it doesn't work, it's a totally fair price point if it works. If it doesn't work, they need to give some people their money back.
Yes.
I don't want to hear about patches. I don't want to hear about, oh, we'll get it. No, you gotta fix that immediately.
Yep.
With some sort of like refund, because the reason I say that is Nintendo has an awful track record with online, and we give a lot of people the benefit of the doubt. Well, they'll hot patch it. They'll do whatever they have to do to get it fixed. No, this is Nintendo. We know the problems that they have. This should not be happening. You need to give some refunds, and you need to bring the price down until you fix it.
Yes, and consumers need to bug them about it, because you're absolutely right. But we love Nintendo. Again, we just raved about one of their products for 40 minutes. But Nintendo is really bad about following through with stuff like this. This is something that they put out and kind of like, okay, well, it is what it is. Figure it out or don't. We don't care. Hopefully there will be enough pressure on them from the gaming community, not like terrible, awful, like what gamers can do sometimes, but just of saying, hey, I'm paying for this. I expect a better product, or I want my money back. Will push them to put out a patch sooner rather than later, because it's pretty obvious that needs a patch. I was really pumped to go pick this up yesterday, but I'm playing Metroid, and so I didn't yet. I'm not putting down Metroid until I'm done with it. And so then it was like, as soon as I'm done with Metroid, go get the expansion pass and start playing some 64 stuff. But I'm not going to do that now until they kind of get this stuff resolved. I don't know, maybe I'll play Sega games until they get the 64 stuff resolved. But it's honestly the 64 games I'm most excited about. I want to play Mario Kart. I want to play Mario Tennis. I want to play Ocarina of Time. I want to play
Mario
64.
Can we get some WWE, please?
Isn't that the truth? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. All that good stuff. You got to have the input controls fixed by that point. I'm curious. I haven't seen yet, and I don't even know. Like, I don't know that you can get the 64 controller yet. I haven't seen anybody talk about that, if you get the same issues with the new 64 wireless controller that they have for this. Of course, another issue apparently is just the button mapping. You can't customize the button mapping at this point. And the 64 was such a weird controller that it just doesn't map well. Like, right. It doesn't map to a modern controller well. And so there's just some weird issues with button mapping that, you know, there's like the AB button on the 64 controller, and then the four, you know, camera buttons, the C buttons, that they map two of those to X and Y on the controller, but all four of them to the right analog stick. And that's like, which, yeah, just sounds super weird. Again, a part of that's just that 64 controller is the weirdest gaming controller of all time. But you got to have a remap option to be able to customize for specific games for that. Yeah, it's just a little thing, but it's important. So hopefully they'll get some of those things resolved. We can only hope. Go ahead.
Go ahead, sir.
I was going to go to the next story. So if you've got one more thought there.
I was just going to admit, like, these are things that if you're going to charge for a service, you can't have this.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you can't have this. And just a real quick analogy, I know we're short on time. We're still paying for PlayStation Plus. And this month, I don't know if you've seen it, but I was reaffirmed in paying for my PlayStation Plus because this month on PlayStation Plus is Mortal Kombat 10 with all of the DLC.
Nice.
And we haven't played Mortal Kombat in a really long time, but Mortal Kombat 10 is supposedly really good, and they made all of the DLC available. It's part of your PlayStation Plus. You got a few days to go and pick that up. I have already. I'm super excited. That right there was worth my $50 a year. That's why Nintendo can't have this happen.
Yeah. Yeah, the other two online services are just so much better. Like, it just, like, yeah. Like, I support you in what you're doing, Nintendo, but you got to execute. You got to make it good. So.
Yeah.
That said, let's talk Grand Theft Auto for just a little bit because we got to talk Grand Theft Auto. So we've been talking about the Grand Theft Auto Definitive Edition as a rumor, then as a confirmed thing. And now we have both video of gameplay, and so we know what the games look like. We have details about how they'll play, which we kind of heard before. It'll be updated with basically Grand Theft Auto 5 controls, which is good because those early games don't stand up from a gameplay perspective. And we have release dates. And I say dates because there's a couple of different dates in here that matter. So let's kind of work in reverse order. I'll get the release dates out of the way really quick, and then we'll talk about kind of impressions of the game. The digital edition of this is coming November 11th, and so just a few weeks away at this point. On November 11th, so that's the three games, all digital edition, Grand Theft Auto 3, Vice City, and San Andreas. Those will all be released as a physical game on December 7th, and so you can get all three of them. Or on November 7th, 11th, sorry, I got those two mixed up. On November 11th, the launch day, the San Andreas part of the game, so of the trilogy, San Andreas will be on Game Pass day one, which is pretty cool because that's my favorite of the three, and so you get that day one on Game Pass. And Grand Theft Auto 3, so the first of the three, will be on PlayStation Now on December 7th. And so you, if you pay for either of those services, you will get access to one of those games. At this point, Vice City not announced as being on one of those services, but you would imagine at some point they'll all land on Game Pass or something in there. And so it's weird piecemeal thing that they're doing, but the fact that you get San Andreas on Game Pass with the updates is pretty cool.
It's interesting because I've actually heard that all three of them were going to be available on Game Pass.
Yeah, that's
I've seen that rumor. I don't know if it's true or not, but
I think it was just confusion about how they announced it because it's Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, the Definitive Edition on Game Pass, which you go, wait, what? How? Okay, so that's just the one. Yeah. It's weird how they're marketing that. And so, like I said, I imagine they'll all three land there, but San Andreas will be there from day one, which is, again, super cool. So that said, now we know what they look like. And I think that was the biggest question. And so they are, you go by gamingoncensored.com to see the show notes. There's a trailer there if you haven't seen it yet, because it's hard to explain. They are true to the original with a significant qualitative improvement to them. And so it is not photorealistic. It does not look like Grand Theft Auto 5, even though that game's 8 years old at this point or whatever it is. They do look like the originals, but they are very much polished up versions of the originals.
Think like stylized comic book update. Like, I don't know how to explain it. It's got
it went from being very polygon based to being that kind of almost cell shaded, not quite like when cell shading was a big thing. It's not quite that, but it is that kind of comic bookish style. Over the top character models, again, not photorealistic, but look really good. And I did not anticipate saying that.
I'm so mad because I'm like, I am. I'm so mad because I'm like, crap, we got to play this again.
I know. We talked about the last couple of shows how, okay, cool, Rockstar, you're doing this thing. But I don't have time to go back and play Grand Theft Auto games that I've played before, and I don't really get what you're doing. And then I saw it. And yeah, especially with San Andreas being on Game Pass, I'm like, yeah, I got no excuse. We got to do it.
I hate to tell you this, sir, but you're going to have to give San Andreas the Metroid treatment.
Yes.
And you're going to have to stream every second of that.
Yeah.
I have to see that. I don't care if I'm watching gameplay from now until like January. I don't care. I have to see that.
Yeah. I am really glad that they're putting at least part of it on Game Pass at launch, because then we can play it and see if it's worth spending time on. Because if I play a couple hours of it and go, yeah, that was cool, I'm glad to see what they did with it, but I don't have any need to go on, like, you're not invested in it at that point. And that's right. Kind of the beauty of a subscription service, is it gives you that kind of a la carte approach. But if we do go, holy crap, this is really well done, and San Andreas is just a phenomenal game, I'm going to play all the way back through this game, cool, I've got no problem with that. It's a great game, you know. Like, yeah. It's been 15 years since that game came out, or whatever it is, a long time. By the way, I just have to mention this, write him out a little bit. Our boy Logan, who listens to the show, is real involved on Facebook and Twitter or whatever. I posted a thing on Twitter. That was the thing that was going around that was, post your favorite video game from the year that you turned 12 or something like that. And so I posted Chrono Trigger, because I went back and looked at the year I turned 12, and Chrono Trigger came out that year, and Chrono Trigger is one of my favorite games of all time. And so that was a no-brainer for me. Logan responded to that, and his game for when he turned 12 was San Andreas. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, how freaking old are we? That's ridiculous.
Like,
I was married when this game came out.
Yeah. Like, we were playing that in your room, your house.
Yeah.
Your wife was watching Gilmore Girls on the screen in the other room. Like, that was, how many Saturdays did we spend?
Yeah.
Playing through that in your little room in your house with your dial-up internet.
Yes.
Like, seriously, that's the first of all, Logan, bro, your parents and Tommy's parents need me, because I think you're like the same people. And secondly, like, mad props to you, bro. Oh my god, I remember what playing a game like that at 12 felt like.
Yeah.
Like you got some guy like guarding the door, and you got, there's like a password to get in the room, and you're like, okay, are your parents gone? And it's like, yeah, they're gone. They're going to be gone for like 3 hours. Let's fire it up.
You know what game was that for us when we were that age? At least to me, and I think you'll probably agree, Duke Nukem.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was the game that, like, you couldn't let your parents see you playing Duke Nukem. Doom, to a certain extent, too, just because it was so violent, but, like, right. Duke Nukem had, like, blocky strippers in it and the whole thing, you know? Like, it just
And he was saying stuff all the time. Like, if he would have been able to say that's what she said, he would have said it a lot.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, for granted, it was that game where you just, you had to make sure the folks weren't around.
Yep. 100%. Grand Theft Auto, very much the same way, but like Grand Theft Auto 3, I played in college. And so like all those games were bad, but again, my mom didn't care. But my friend's moms cared. One other thing I'll say, Logan, speaking of how we're similar, he has a heck of a good beard. Beard on Logan.
Good beard.
Yeah. There you go. Really quickly, just a couple other things I'll throw in here, but go by the show notes, gamingcensored.com. Concerned Ape, this is the other game announcement. Concerned Ape is the developer of Stardew Valley. His new game has officially been announced. is called Haunted Chocolatier, and you play a chocolate maker, apparently in like a haunted mansion that has almost to be kind of a Willy Wonka feel to it. I kind of can see it going that direction, but looks almost identical to Stardew Valley. He didn't stray from the formula that made Stardew Valley successful. And I have zero problem with that. And I'll probably put a billion hours into this game.
Yeah, you're going to do that. And that guy's going to make some money, and good on him.
Good on him.
God
of War, the version that came out 3 years ago, that is phenomenal, is coming to PC. That was a rumor we saw recently. It is true.
Couple of things on this, because, you know, when something big comes out, we get a 12 a.m. text from Duff. Yeah. It's like, yeah, look what's coming. And like, I hated to bust his bubble, but I was like, yeah, it's pretty cool, but I'm not playing that because we've already played all the way through it. And it will suck on mouse and keyboard.
That is what I have a hard time seeing it translating to. If you don't have a PlayStation, have a controller to play it on keyboard or on PC. Awesome, but yeah,
that was not like he's so excited, and I love it when Duff gets excited, because that's when I get the really like midnight text, like, dude, yup, that's what that was. And my response was like, yeah, no, it's cool, but no,
yeah,
yeah, it will look nice though.
It will
look
nice
if they do what they did with Horizon. It's gonna look fantastic.
Yeah, and it's just such a good game, just like Horizon is. It just makes all the sense of the world. Basically, everything that comes out on PlayStation here on out is going to come out on PC a few years later. It's not going to be quite the same as Microsoft, where it happens quickly. But Sony's kind of established that as a pattern. And I bet the gap closes over time, that you're seeing closer releases as they're going forward.
You know what? I don't care about closer. I don't really want to see closer releases, because I don't want to see something that's not like the PC release of Horizon. Like, I don't want to see... I don't want to see something that is not that well done.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense at all?
For sure. I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Horizon is a major, 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 major upgrade on the PC.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even comparable.
Yeah, if you do it right, even if it takes time. Nothing wrong with that. One last quick Sony thing here, too. They are having a State of Play tomorrow, and so we'll get something to talk about for our next show, that is focused on third-party titles. They say it's about 20 minutes long, and so not a huge newsy State of Play, probably. I'm really curious to see if we get Final Fantasy in there. That's the one, like, hanging out there Sony game that we saw last year. Little bit of a tease. I mean, a pretty significant tease of that. I want to know what they're doing with. And every State of Play, I'm kind of like, let's see if we get Final Fantasy 16 this time. And so, because this one is specifically third party focused, chance that we'll get Final Fantasy. If not, we'll get other fun stuff. We'll have stuff to talk about. So, look forward to that State of Play tomorrow, which is Wednesday from our perspective right now, which may be today or yesterday, depending on when you're listening to this podcast.
I'm looking forward to that, because those are always good, and I like the fact that it's short.
Yes.
Like, I like the fact that we know what we're going to get, and there'll be some good stuff in there. I'm also really excited. We've got a good weekend, because we got baseball tonight.
Yes.
That's going to be fantastic, because your guys, the cheating slime balls that you root for, are playing some ball, and you know I'm going to sit and I'm going to watch that.
Yep.
So, of course. We're excited about that. That's tonight.
Can I just mention that, like, Astros and Braves just is about the worst possible World Series that MLB probably could. I mean, people like rooting against the Astros at this point for good reason. I get that. And so there will be some hate watching involved. But the Braves just, like, they aren't, like, the most likable team either, you know? And it just is, like,
so
Braves have, like, a really solid fan base. 25 years ago, the Braves were so massive because of Turner. But that's just gone away. It used to be everybody got Cubs games and Braves games because of WGN and Turner broadcasting. Yeah. Now that's just, you know, that has all gone away. And so the, like, Braves of the 90s that were super fascinating, you know, teams with Smoltz and Maddux and all those people. Like, it just doesn't feel like the Braves are that team anymore. And it just, yeah, it just doesn't feel like a compelling World Series unless you're a fan of one of those teams.
I've been watching the last few innings of every game. And when I figured out that was what the World Series was going to be, I had to stop and look. I'm like, are we back in 1993? Yeah. Where's Ted Turner at? Cause this is definitely a Ted Turner World Series.
Yes.
It's going to be really interesting. And for all of my, for all of my making fun of your guys, I gotta echo Tony Kornheiser. Last night he was talking about on PGI that he has issues with the Astros, but he's rooting actively for Dusty Baker.
Yes.
And I'm kind of in that same boat. Like, I'd like to see that guy win. I like Dusty Baker a lot.
Yep.
And that's a really compelling thing right there.
That was the best decision the Astros made after the whole cheating scandal and Alex Cora leaving and everything else, was hiring Dusty Baker on as kind of the cleanup guy with a team that was so uberly talented. The Astros didn't need to cheat to win. I will stand by the fact that they were a really good team because they've continued to be a really good team. And I'll also tell you, they're still cheating. Because every team in baseball is cheating. That's the thing about it. It's just like every team cheats. The Astros did it with a trash can in the stupid way that they got caught. But like every team cheats. And so like I guarantee you the Astros are doing everything they can to steal signs too. Because every other team is doing everything they can to steal signs. Which is what like the whole controversy just irked me so much. Is like other teams are doing the same thing. You know they are. Again, banging on trash cans was dumb because you could hear it on the broadcast. Like, you got to figure out something else. But every team's cheating in some way because that's part of baseball culture. Love it or hate it, it's true. That team got caught and punished in probably not harsh enough ways, especially not to stop it because, again, people are going to steal. But they are immensely talented, and Dusty Baker getting to come in and steer the ship with an immensely talented team has been really fun to watch.
So we got to go, but I just have to mention, I was at the doctor the other day, and my neurologist I really like because we're around the same age, and we just enjoy hanging out while I'm in there doing my thing. And we were talking about old man Brady and watching Tom Brady yeah. do what he does, and it's kind of the same thing because my guy, the doctor's name is Sean Milligan, and Sean says to me, he's like, if you notice that nobody says anything about Deflategate or any of that stuff anymore,
yep.
because that guy's just so good.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to be a politician when he retires yeah. because he is well-liked by everybody. And he's probably on every performance and enhancing substance on the planet. I don't know that. So I'm not going to say that. But my point is, if he is, I don't care because yep. he's amazing to watch.
Dude's 44 and still performing at that level. Like,
he's older than something. Me. Yeah. He's amazing.
Just wild.
He's amazing.
Yeah, just crazy. One last game thing I'm going to throw out here really quick before we wrap up. Releases, of course, go by and see nothing huge other than today. The Guardians of the Galaxy game officially launches and is currently an 83 on Metacritic, which is pretty solid for what I would not have ever considered being a good game. But I read one review of it that made me go, okay, I got to play this at some point, of just apparently it being both a fun game to play and the kind of Marvel narrative thing being executed pretty well. Again, it's not an MCU game. This is not based off of the MCU world. This is based off the comic book world, but apparently is really, really solid. And so I'm excited about that. I'm all for good comic book, good Marvel games. There's plenty of bad ones out there, but let's get some more good ones for sure.
So real quick, before we wrap, I have to ask, because talking about our childhood, Are you going to go somewhere this weekend and see Dune in the movie theater?
Oh man, I've gone back and forth about that because I've got HBO sitting.
Yeah, me so too.
I can watch it whenever I want.
Yeah,
and so I've just been like, and I doubt heavily that I'm going to be able to figure out a way to get to a theater to do it. And so I imagine I'm going to watch it on HBO. But man, it's one of those that I really wish I could get to a theater to do.
I'm probably gonna do the same thing. I'm probably gonna watch it on HBO. I saw the Many Saints of Newark last weekend, which is a Sopranos movie. It's fabulous. If you haven't seen that, it's fabulous. And that's coming from a guy that's never seen an episode of the Sopranos. They did a really nice job on that. Now I'm pumped to watch The Sopranos. I really don't want to watch Dune on HBO, but I'm with you. I don't know how I'm going to get to the theater, so I'm probably going to break down and watch it.
Yeah.
And
apparently it's good. So
That's
one of those things from like our childhood that Dune was a big deal. And so I'm excited to see it executed hopefully well on the big screen. What was that Dune movie? When was it?
1984.
Goodness, that's a lot longer than I was thinking.
Yeah, 1984.
Yeah.
Was the one with Sting, which is the one you're thinking about. Yeah.
So nice to have a new one.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm really enjoying being us. And if we could just get in a room with some bourbon and some food that we don't need to eat, I think I would be really, really happy about life right now because it's good to be us.
Yeah.
But we got to wrap this thing up. We got places to go. And he's got a little girl that needs his attention. So for right now, you know where everything is. We got the Facebook. We got the Twitter. We've got all kinds of content on the YouTube. Every time I look at that YouTube and realize that we only have 15 subscribers, I'm like, that's horrible.
Yeah, it's not entertaining content, but there's tons of it. If you just need to watch something, you can watch me play Metroid and pause every 10 minutes, and not even every 2 minutes, probably. Yeah, I'm sure it's just brutal to watch if you don't care. But we like it. It's content. It sucks.
So go check that out. This show is on Patreon. You definitely need to check that out. The holidays are coming. That means we're going to be together at some point.
Yeah.
Which I'm really excited about. So you're going to get lots of good stuff from us. Other than that, sir, is there anything else?
I think we're good.
All right. I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. We are Gaming Uncensored for one more week, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.